to the No Dunks podcast series squad, the show where we draft teams like we're the general managers. The only catch, the very specific draft pool we're working with. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the war room with Tass, with Trey, with super producer JD, and joining us, thanks to the power of technology, it's the international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis. What's up, Lee?
Hey guys, here I am at IOC headquarters, so really looking forward to this squad today.
How you holding up, Lee?
We're doing okay overall. Yeah, boys are back in school, so hopefully I'll be back in the studio. I expect to be back there with you guys very, very soon.
Okay, great. Well, believe it or not, the Beijing 2022 Winter Olympics starts in basically 1 week.
Wow.
Really?
What? I know. It sounds fake to me, but today's squad is all about creating the best Winter Olympics. All right? What do I mean by that? Well, let me take you through the five categories, guys. The first one, we'll be drafting a host city for our Winter Olympics. Now, there was some debate offline. Does it have to be a city that's never hosted an Olympics before? Or can it be a repeat city? We ultimately decided on, yep, it's okay if you want to go with a city that's either hosted the Winter Olympics or, hell, even the Summer Olympics, right?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Getting it hot in her.
In the second round, we're going to be drafting an opening ceremony performer or performance. Now, I figured most of us would probably pick a musical artist or act, but I want you to get creative as you want, so... You know, maybe the performance part is even like how you're lighting that cauldron, how you're doing
sure,
the torch.
Like
I just want you to really paint the picture of your opening ceremony, be it the artist or whatever happens. Okay?
Right, and they're usually 3 to 4 hours long, so we might be here
yeah,
for a while.
It could take a while. Okay, in the third round, we're going to be drafting what I'm calling our marquee Olympic event. And what does that mean? Well, it's just a sneaky way to find out what your favorite Winter Olympic sport is. But I'm also picturing like the marquee event as sort of like how you would elect to close your games. Right? Like this is the number one Winter Olympic sport to you, and this is like where all eyes will be on. Okay?
Is there a current one?
Hockey,
is there a current last thing?
I know in 2010 in Vancouver was like the final thing, the gold medal game.
Right.
And Lee, you love the Olympics.
Yeah.
Is it always hockey when it comes to the Winter Olympics?
I mean, I'm not quite as up to speed on the Winter Games because I feel as well that they have changed so many events over the years too. So I'm not exactly sure what the marquee sort of closeout event is.
Right.
But
it's
certainly
up to us.
It makes sense in a hockey city, in a hockey country to close out with hockey with the gold medal there for Canada.
Yes, right. Yes, right. As they definitely don't speak up in Vancouver.
That's
like that.
Right.
But the point of the marquee Winter Olympic event is it has to be a real event. Okay.
Right.
Because in the fourth round, we'll be drafting, really creating, I guess, a new Olympic event. So, it could be a real sport that is not currently in the Winter Olympics that you want to make a case for that should be included, like darts or something
like that.
Tag
darts.
Or something, you know? But maybe you want to get really creative and just make up your own damn sport and unveil it to the world. So again, get creative as you want. And that could take hours if you're going to like explain the rules of your new game, but I can't wait. And finally, in our fifth and final round, we're going to draft a mascot for our Winter Olympic Games. Every Olympics has a mascot, or two, or three, or four, or five. But here's the catch with us. It has to be an actual NBA mascot, okay? That's the little basketball twist we're adding to this episode of Squad.
Nice.
So a real NBA mascot will be your mascot for your Winter Olympics, okay? Any questions about the five categories?
I'm making some changes now.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
wow.
I got to do a quick update here. I didn't know I had to have my entire opening ceremony planned.
I got
a person picked up, but...
You don't have to do that. I'm saying you can if you want. JD and Lee, you guys are good? Everybody understands the rules? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, the draft will be held via No Dunks rules, which means each and every one of us gets a crack at the number one pick in one of the five rounds. I implore you, I beg you to draft like your life depends on it. We got to debate each other's selections, obviously ask questions, and it's happened before. Feel free to offer up trades. If there's like a category that you really, really want and you want a higher pick, you know, you know, throw a trade offer out. It's been a while since we've done a squad episode. JD said it's like 2020 Halloween.
I believe so.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
And is this the time to cash in on a... because Skates, you owe me a number one.
Oh my God! What I do?
You do, yeah.
From the Halloween episode.
From the Halloween draft, you traded away the. You wanted the number one pick. I think it was for costume, maybe. And you said, whatever we traded, and then you said plus a future first round.
Wow!
Pick.
Wow!
Yeah, I mean, so it's up to you whether you are.
Yeah, I'm gonna cash it in because, to be honest, I completely forgot about it, and then I was like, wait a minute, and I don't want to hold. It's burning a hole in my pocket. So
okay.
You have first pick in new Olympic event.
Yeah, I guess so. You'll just
and
be
I have
taking
last
it.
Pick.
So really, I will not have a first pick in any of these today.
You will not,
okay,
unfortunately.
That's fair. Wow.
But you know that you wanted costume or whatever whatever category it was back in 2020.
Very important that I got something I can't even remember. So.
No, it was worth it for sure.
I think I won the Halloween squad episode. You're right. Because that is an important part here. The listeners, the people that are watching on YouTube, the No Dunks fans, you guys are ultimately going to decide which one of us has drafted the best Winter Olympic squad. Of course, we ask you for your answers as well. Drop them in the YouTube comments or tweet them in at No Dunks Inc. Okay, earlier this week, we determined the draft order. And Lili, you have won the right to pick first in the host city category.
Well... Guys, you know, anytime we do these things and a city is involved, my default is always to go with the world's most livable city and my hometown of Melbourne. And the thing is, it's actually a surprisingly good city to host the Winter Olympics because people who have visited Melbourne in winter are always shocked at just how cold it gets, Skeetsy. I think you've even said that before. Mm-hmm. And an ex-girlfriend of my brother who was from Sweden, she thought it got colder in Melbourne, and specifically in Sunbury, my hometown, than it got in Stockholm in winter. She thought it was colder in Sunbury.
Well, she
than in
is
Stockholm.
An insane person. That's probably that is not the case.
Yeah.
Well, listen, it even snowed once in Sunbury back in 1986. Everyone remembers it. It was like a sort of, you know, where were you when moment, right? And people were building those just slushy, ugly, you know, snowmen for days after, just throwing mud basically just to hang on to that moment, right? And listen, there's some great ski mountains in Victoria as well. The only place in the world I've actually been skiing is in Victoria, in the state of Victoria there. But I'm not going with Melbourne because even for me, you know what, it's a bit too easy. It's kind of boring, really, isn't it? I mean, let's have some fun here. So listen, I've got the globe.
Oh, Leah's spinning I was going to say tiny, but that's a pretty regular
I think he really
globe.
Is at the IOC. He's got a globe and a world map.
Yeah. So, listen, I decided that I'm going to go with one of the most glorious cities on Earth. It's so beautiful. I would say it's easily in my top three or four cities for places I've been, for scenery, for colors, for people. It's everything.
Yep.
So, with the first pick in the Winter Olympics squad draft, my host city will be the capital of Scotland, Edinburgh. And listen, the great thing about Edinburgh is it can actually host the Winter Olympics at any time of the year. Yeah, great joke there. But what I'm getting at is even in the summer months, look, it gets a little bit cloudy. You can have some tracking days, but you can also have it can be pissing down with rain in the middle of July and it's like 6 degrees. And you're like, come on, this is summer. What's going on? But anyway, listen, it's an amazing city. It's quite hilly, which is really good for Winter Olympics. And it's got a beautiful castle there. Edinburgh Castle looks out over the city. So scenically, it is just fantastic. So I'm going with Scotland. I'm going with Edinburgh as my host city of the 2026 Olympic Games.
Okay, yeah. So I think that's already been delegated to another country and city. But okay, so Edinburgh. How do you
Edinburgh,
say it?
Yeah.
Edinburgh. Yeah, that's right.
Edinburgh.
Yeah. All right. Trey, you're up next in the host city category.
Can't believe Melbourne is still on the board.
Wow.
Crazy.
I mean, it snowed there literally once.
Perfect place for the Winter Olympics.
The perfect place for the Winter Olympics. But like Lee, I was thinking I got to be a homer here too.
Right.
We're keeping the Olympics in the United States.
Nice.
Wow.
Not Chicago. We're going to Denver, Colorado.
Whoa. Let's hit the mountains.
A lot of mountains there.
Yep.
You think hills are good for a Winter Olympics? Try mountains. Also, it's only like 8 hours to Jackson Hole, Wyoming. I think that's fairly close, you know. I feel like during the Vancouver Olympics, they were in Whistler, yep. right? Mm-hmm. And that was a little bit away for yep. some of the ski stuff. The Denver Airport is the biggest international airport in the United States. Not a lot of population density. They've got some stadiums there. Sign me up for Denver.
Okay. Mm. Wow.
Wow. Still good for social distancing, I guess, as well. Denver, probably, if we're still amidst the COVID pandemic.
Well, Lee has the 2026 Olympics. Yeah, mine is 2030 at the earliest. Well,
let's hope it's not
a possibility.
Let's hope not.
Yep.
The states probably have held the most Winter Olympics, or at least combined Olympics.
Four.
Yeah.
2002 was their last one.
Right. Salt Lake City. They've had mm-hmm. Lake Placid. I don't know where else. Okay. I like that. Denver pick. I didn't even think about that. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's go to our third pick in this category. JD.
Yeah. So I actually had Denver on my list. Mm. Apparently they withdrew in 1976. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Yeah. Okay. So they were in the running for the Winter Olympics.
Well, 76 was the summer.
Was Montreal, right?
Montreal, oh, they used to have them in the same.
Yeah, that's right.
They used to be the same year. Yeah.
So I'm going to go a homer pick. I got a bunch of on my list here. I got Dawson City, UConn. Terrible idea. Terrible.
Right.
I have Anchorage, Alaska. I want somewhere with a lot of snow. Yep. I got Stockholm on the list.
Yep.
Who hosted the Summer Olympics in 1912? Summer Olympics. Stockholm. Crazy. But, you know, I was talking to Rachel and she was like, Halifax, baby. Halifax.
I knew you were going to the East Coast.
Halifax, baby.
I did.
Yeah, well, I mean, why not? It's a beautiful city. It's a nice little town. It's there's skiing there. I think there's 5 ski resorts. And Halifax deserves it. Halifax, the sort of the forgotten child of Canada, you know? Like people mm-hmm. people are always like,
the Macaulay Culkin of
the Kieran Culkin, if you will. Yeah. Now, Kieran's probably
Rory.
Up there now.
I think it's
the
Rory.
The Rory of Canada. We got Vancouver, you got Montreal, even Calgary, but Halifax, beautiful. East Coast. The people are wonderful. It would do great things for the city. So give me Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
Okay.
Wonderful. Excellent. Wonderful pick.
Excellent. I guess I am up next. With the fourth pick here in the host city. I thought about, keeping it local, either in the States or Canada, but you guys have made those selections. I guess maybe we should have added that rule. Once, like, one of the cities is gone from that country, you can no longer take that country. Who cares? I'm going back to somewhere where they've hosted the Olympics twice before, but it's been a long time, in 1928 and 1948. You ever heard of a place called St. Moritz?
Yeah.
Good.
Sure.
A luxury alpine resort town in Switzerland.
Yeah.
It's very small, but it's picturesque. They haven't been there in a long time. You've got the slopes. You know, you're in the Alps, basically. And I just thought it looked beautiful, and I want to go somewhere in Europe. So I'm going back there to a place that none of us has ever been to.
Yeah. Nice.
But it does look nice when you look at the photos. You're like, ooh. But it's really, really small, and you're like, man, could they manage it in today's Olympic climate?
I think they can.
Yeah, as long as you got the hotel rooms, right?
Yeah, and you can just bounce around cities. They're doing it in Italy in 2026.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it
doesn't all have to be right there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay, so I'm going to Switzerland.
Is it near the Matterhorn? Where's the Matterhorn at?
Sure.
Yes. The answer is yes.
Yes, all right. Because it's not, you're right. Yeah, it has to be yes. Yeah, exactly.
What, St. Moritz, is that what it's
I
called?
Don't know if I'm even saying it.
Yeah.
Lee? Right. All right, good.
Yeah.
Lee, have you, you've been everywhere. Have you been to Switzerland?
No, that's I actually survived Switzerland. I haven't gotten out of the airport, but I'm glad I went to Switzerland. But that's where the plane nearly crashed. Remember, I was coming down Lake Geneva.
Right. Yeah, so you've technically been in Switzerland, but you never left the airport.
That's right. But okay. I made it in and I made it out. I'm happy with that.
Okay. Tess, take us home here in our first category, host city.
So we've got St. Moritz, we've got Edinburgh, we've got Halifax, and we've got Denver. I'll take the
best. Those are good picks.
I'll take the best city of them all.
Okay.
And it's a homerish pick for me as well. We're going to Athens, Greece. Why
whoa,
not?
Whoa, winter.
Yes, a winter wow. Olympic, winter. Sure. We just had a snow-nado in Athens, Greece. Now, do they have enough snow? Absolutely not. But that's what they're doing in Beijing this year.
Yeah, you're right.
They built some pipelines, snow coming from everywhere.
It's
every
like average
angle.
4 centimeters a year in Beijing.
They don't have
like,
snow in Beijing, yeah. But they're manufacturing snow these days. Right. And we can do that in Athens. We'll find some mountains. We'll get out there. There's enough mountains in the surrounding area. And there's some pre-existing facilities, obviously.
Aren't you concerned about Athens, though, after what happened after the Summer Olympics?
The Winter Olympics are like 1/18th the size of the Summer Olympics. Sure. And I think with your guys' picks, St. Moritz, the Rory Culkin, the Halifax, the Kieran Culkin. Rory's making a comeback. Rory's got a show on Apple TV, I think, that's come out. I think McCulley's probably the bottom of the Culkins right now, as in what he's doing currently. Visibility.
Current sitting on a pile of Home Alone money.
That's why I said McCulley, because you said it's the forgotten child of Canada. So Home Alone, Macaulay Culkin, that's what I would say.
Anyways, I think the Greeks, no disrespect to Edinburgh, Denver, and St. Moritz and Halifax, the Greeks will have the best time, the dancing, the celebrating. The fact that it's warm out. Let's have a good time.
That's the problem with your pick here.
Yeah, I'm changing my Puerto Vallarta. That's where I want the Winter Olympics.
Listen, it's cold enough. It is cold enough. It's not. It's a little warmer than Beijing, and Beijing is cold enough. So I think we can. I think we can stretch it again. They're doing it in Italy. We can do it in Greece as well.
They're having like record snow in Athens, I think, right now.
They've had some. I mean, yes. By the time that these happen, you guys have taken 2026, 2030. If I have it in 2034, who knows what the temperatures will be like. So I think the Greeks will have a good time.
I'm trying to find out if Greece has ever won a winter medal.
That's a good question.
I'm assuming they have, though I am... I'm seeing a bunch of zeros here in the medal count for Winter Games.
Yeah, that's a good point.
In fact, I don't think they have. Well, that's just a reason to have it there.
Yeah,
I guess,
you got
to
win one. They always give the host country
they
one.
They always give them one. Thanks for spending the $100 trillion. Here's a silver medal. Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right. Good cities. Good start here to this episode of Squad.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/NoDunks.
Okay. That's where it's going to get insane, I think, quickly. The opening ceremony performer or performance, Trey Kirby has the number one pick.
Tough category here. Tough category, and honestly, the Culkins are rising up my list. They weren't on my short list, but they're getting there now. Because do you want to be greedy on this one, you know? Do you want to pick... You want to pick your favorite band, or do you want to pick something that's going to appeal to everybody and show the best? I know it's tough.
So or I would add to that. I mean, this is an Olympics. Generally, in the country you're having it, there is going to be a tie into the artist or performance.
Absolutely.
Stuff like that. So it's like, yeah, okay. So where are you going?
Yeah, and like you're competing with every other opening ceremony ever.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to try and compete with Beijing Summer Olympics. Nobody's ever going to top that unless Beijing somehow does it again right now. But so I'm aiming something a little smaller, okay. London style, a lot of cultural references.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought maybe Pitbull and Flo Rida. That's the NBA style, right? Like kind of a performance, Pitbull and Flo Rida. Why not?
They're available.
They're available. Yeah. Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Okay.
They're a Colorado band, would put on a big time celebration. Then there's a lot of great American bands, right? The Talking Heads, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Pearl Jam, Santana, Hall & Oates, the Beach Boys.
Shout out to Kevin Love.
But I had to do it for everybody out there. Wow. This would not be my number one choice of person to head up a ceremony. But I think he is the man to go to for a huge production. Lin-Manuel Miranda is in charge of my opening ceremony.
Interesting.
Fascinating.
I'm not a Hamilton lover.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an incredible production.
Yep.
I do love Moana. We talked about on the podcast recently all of the songs from Encanto.
He did that too.
Yeah.
Jeez. Mm-hmm.
They're great. And I mean, even if you're not a huge Hamilton fan, there's a lot of huge Hamilton fans out there. And like the production of it is literally amazing and just such a big spectacle. I think if you're talking about somebody to put on a half hour performance, there's nobody better in America.
So he's obviously has his hands all over the production, but he in theory is performing as well.
Yeah, I'm sure he will.
He'll
put himself in there.
Okay, wow, what a pick.
Nice.
Didn't see that coming. I love this.
Me neither, man. Honestly, me neither.
Yeah. But hey, you're trying to win this.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's the Olympics. We're sending our best.
He's going for the gold. He's not playing for silver or bronze. Okay, JD, you have the second pick here. Opening ceremony performer / performance.
Okay, so I approach this in exactly the same way. Popularity contest, like just because it is a worldwide event.
Yeah.
And I just looked up like the top 10 best-selling artists of all time, right?
Okay.
So there are a few on this list that can't do it because they don't have surviving members, like their people are dead in the in these bands.
Right.
And I just went straight up musical act. Like I didn't think about the torch lighting or any of that stuff.
Right.
That's why you guys are going to lose.
Yeah. You're right.
Just kidding.
You're right. I mean, and I would never pick this, but with the number two selling band of all time is the Eagles.
You've lost.
But I'm not picking. I'm not picking. Oh,
just wanted to spread that fact. It's a shocker.
160 million albums they've sold. It's
welcome to the Winter Olympics.
Anyway, they're playing in Atlanta soon. They're playing in Atlanta soon, JD. You can go down and see them.
I don't want to say. I don't love the Eagles. I'm just saying, like, I want to appeal to the most amount of people. Yeah. So I have to go down to number 8, and I am picking U2, and also I don't feel good about it, but above them is Maroon 5, and I'm not picking them.
Sure, and then Adam Levine.
In between that is Queen, Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, AC/DC, Maroon 5. So I'm going with U2.
U2.
No, I'm changing it.
Whoa.
I'm going to number 10, the Rolling Stones. 100 million albums, they're popular enough, I think.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, the Stones in Halifax.
The Stones in Halifax.
What year though, JD? When's your album? Yeah, they're already down one member. They might be down a few more by the time.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I'm not going to live to see mine, I don't think.
Keith will still be alive, though.
Keith will be alive.
He'll be alive
for
sure.
That's true. Yeah.
Okay, the Stones.
Rolling Stones.
I'm surprised. After Trey left Pitbull and Flo Rida on the board, you saw Flo Rida live at an All-Star game and you admired the performance. That's a pretty international base that they have. But you're going with the old Rolling Stones.
Right. Well, I also enjoy the Rolling Stones live.
Okay, good.
You didn't think about a Canadian artist. You're in Halifax.
Yeah. Well, who are you going to pick? I guess Sloan.
I mean, yeah.
Jan Arden.
It could go the Biebs, I guess, if you really wanted to get those eyeballs.
Yeah, I'm old. Okay. Give me the Stones.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. Well, I am going to try and go with an artist from Switzerland. And I thought I was...
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. I thought I was like... I made my pick. I liked the idea of having it in St. Moritz. And I was like, well, now I'm screwed. Because who the heck is going to be an artist from Switzerland that can perform? But, I could not believe it. My performer at my Winter Olympics opening ceremony, the queen of rock and roll, Tina Turner.
Huh.
Really?
Born in the States, but has lived in Switzerland the past 2 decades. She's full on Swiss. She can speak German. They love her. They've embraced her. And, I mean, she's one of the best-selling recording artists of all time.
She's got to be up there.
She's got some bangers.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
Got, she's like... She's going to, like, it's the Olympics. But, you know, old people are interested in the opening ceremony.
Right,
so
yeah.
They're going to tune in for her. I was like, wow, thank God. So she is my performer. And then probably maybe more popular even Swiss person in the world, Roger Federer. I'm doing something with the lighting of the cauldron where he has, like, a snowball instead of a tennis ball. And he hits it, right? Like, he hits it either fast or hard enough that he somehow, like, it lights something. Like it ignites the cauldron somehow. So just a nice serve from Roger Federer.
As
Tina Turner sings Let's Stay Together. What?
Just a flaming tennis ball.
Right, oh, yeah.
Soaring through the air, just landing.
But I want the winter. So a snowball on fire to light. Yeah, nice lob.
Yeah. I love it.
Thank you.
I think Tina Turner is older than Mick Jagger, maybe.
She's living 80. She's lived the last 2 decades in Switzerland. She's doing great. It's such a carefree life.
Is it?
Of course.
Okay.
You didn't even know she lived there.
You're right. I did. I had no idea.
Nor did I until I started researching it last night around 11 o'clock. All right. So I got Tina Turner, but Roger Federer also included in igniting the Olympic torch. Tess, where are you going?
Well, interesting. I also went the route of putting together the entire opening ceremony.
Good man.
Now, the worst part about the opening ceremony is that it's very long. There's no way you could watch 3 hours.
Well, speak for yourself.
Wow.
I mean, I'm a sicko for the Olympics. I love
it. So long.
It's long. I think they've tried to get a little bit better at speeding it up.
Okay, well,
the walk-in just takes longer than you're thinking.
You're right.
Yeah.
It takes extremely long. There's 100 countries in the in the Winter Olympics. It's under 100 that were in Sochi in 2018.
Yeah, fun drinking game, though, by the way, when they bring the teams in. They usually will show like team Barbados or whatever. And then if you're watching with people, try and guess how many athletes they have, how many like representatives they have at the Olympics and see if you can come the closest to it.
Yeah.
For some reason, it's really fun. Sorry.
It's different with the Winter Olympics, right?
Yeah, it's not as fun.
No, it's not as fun. Really, it's half the countries. There's like 200 go to the Summer Olympics. And
not as big a teams either because there's not as many
events. There's not as many events. Yeah. Anyways... This is going to get super weird. But what's going to happen here is Matt Austin is going to perform Meatloaf's Bat Out of Hell.
Wow.
Okay? And that's going to be the entertainment. It's an 8-minute song. It's an 8-minute song, but we're going to round it up to 10 minutes because no one's going to notice that there's an extra 2 minutes in there. We just want a round number. So for 10 minutes, all the countries have to enter during these 10 minutes or they're disqualified.
Scream into the stadium.
Yeah, I think they can run in. They're athletes. I think they'll be fine. Again, this is the Winter Olympics. They're smaller teams. Instead of a flag bearer, each country will have a torch bearer, a small torch that flag bearer is bringing in. So again, you got 10 minutes to get in. All you have to do is get to the center of the arena, center of the stadium. Each torch bearer will encircle the cauldron and throw in their torch.
While Matt is singing.
So it's fewer than 100 countries. What we miss out on is, you know, the rich history of each of the host country's culture, of the Greek culture. But in my case, the Greek culture will be missing out, but we've seen this before, so we're okay. 10 minutes. I think that this will be the most memorable opening ceremony in the history of the Olympics.
That's probably true.
We've seen Matt Austin perform Bat Out of Hell. And that's a heck of a performance.
Yeah, it is.
He's just going to have to get a new version extended 10 minutes.
I love that part of it.
Which part of the song are you extending?
Oh, you know the part that everybody knows. You just have to sing it twice over.
Yeah, that part, of course.
Na 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 na. You sing that an extra two minutes. Anyways, if it has to be 8 minutes, if we can't figure that part out, it'll be 8 minutes. Again, they're athletes; they'll get into the arena quick enough.
Okay. Wow.
Weird one. Yeah.
Yep. For sure. Lee, can you outdo that, man?
Well, I think so, because I've got I've got three different performers, and I'm hoping to attract the younger crowd, the older crowd, and then just party with a bang on the opening ceremony night. Okay. Now, the first musical instrument I associate with Scotland is the bagpipe.
Of course.
I think it's a beautiful instrument. So we're going to start off with a marching band.
Oh, do you really?
A beautiful instrument. Yeah. It sounds beautiful. It's very ceremonial anyway. I like that part.
You're right about that.
That's an adjective I would use. Right? Yes.
So then we have Lita Ford, the rock chick from the 70s and 80s. She comes out.
Lita Ford.
This is Lee trying to please everybody. Ford, everybody.
Yeah, she comes out playing guitar. Everyone's getting excited, right? That transitions into modern day pop chick, Dua Lipa. You talk about highest selling songs. She had the highest selling single last year in all of the United States with Levitating. She's great. She's also British born. She was born in London, so there's the connection there. And then one of the other highest selling singles last year was the duet she did with Elton John, another British born legend.
Oh, God.
And he ends the night. So it transitions from, you know, starts in Scotland, we get some rock going, we get into Dua Lipa, and then we close out with Elton because he's the greatest performer. So that's it. I didn't really go into the sort of lighting of the flame and all that stuff. I was more just like, you want entertainment, you're getting a rock. You're going to have some fun. And it's going to be directed by Jonas Åkerlund, who's the guy behind multiple famous music videos.
Obviously.
Bit of a rocker himself in his day, but he transitioned into sort of behind the camera stuff. So I'm looking forward to it, actually. I think it's going to be a great night. I can't wait.
All right. What's the song that Elton and Lipa are ending with?
Lipa and Lita.
Who did he say?
Dua Lipa. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Lita.
She's a two-name Lipa.
It's Lita Lipa.
Lita Ford did Ozzy Osbourne's. She did the great duet with Ozzy Osbourne. She also has done a great duet with Ace Frehley. Go and check that out. They did a cover of Jumpin' Jack Flash. I sound like Molly Meldrum right now. Do yourself a favor. Go out and have a listen to this album. It's great. I'm closing. Dua Lipa is going to do her stuff. Then she's going to transition to the song she did with Elton, although it's they could probably jazz it up a little bit for the Olympics and do like I'm Still Standing or something like that. Get the crowd, you know, hyped up toward the end.
So, I'm Still Sledding. I'm Still Sledding.
Oh, there you go.
The bobsled team out there. All right. Wow. Does that wrap up that category? Yeah, it does. Fascinating. Okay. Let's move to the marquee Winter Olympic event. Again, in theory, this is what you are closing your games with. Really, it's your favorite Winter Olympic event. JD, you have the first pick.
Yeah, so for my money, or in my experience, I should say, the one thing that the Winter Olympics is missing is suspense and tension. You know what I mean? Like, I'll watch bobsledding all day, but there's no drama there. It's just like, whoa, those guys are going really fast, and well, I wonder what it's like to be the guy in the middle and that kind of thing.
Right.
You know?
If
like,
they were racing, it'd be better.
Exactly. If they were all going together. And then the freestyle skiing, you know, the flips and that. That's fun to watch, but and figure skating. I mean, I do like watching them all, but unless it's like a penalty shootout in hockey, there's not a lot of, you know, suspension and tension, except for curling.
Ooh,
curling.
Good pick.
You just get into it. It's one of those low-key, you sit there, and then it's the one Olympic sport that I actually find myself on the edge of my seat, you know, just because it's just such a game of strategy. It's the most interesting thing to watch, really, because if you've never watched curling before, it's just there's sweeping and there's yelling and the rocks move at a snail's pace. But when they get to the target, it's like, oh, my God. And just the strategy involved. And so I'm going curling. Curling is my marquee event that we're wrapping the whole games up with.
Curling.
And what do you mean by that?
I love curling. I love curling. Just when you added in that line of wrapping up the entire Olympics, I just don't think of curling.
Yeah,
that's all.
Me neither.
The crowd is hyped at a curling event.
Yeah,
though. They get into it.
I mean, there's lots of things you could do. In terms of suspense, you got to get some mics on the floor.
Yeah.
We got to hear the strategy on the ice. Yeah, the floor, whatever. I'm talking about, I'm using my own personal experience, my own personal Olympics, and it's going to be a floor in Greece. It's going to be really hot. So there's going to be no ice. But anyways, get some mics on them, and I think you could open it up so you could have fans on the floor around the rinks, right?
Right.
Like, get some buzz going.
Right, sort of like basketball courtside.
Yeah.
Like just have them just sitting there. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's a fun event.
Curling is JD's number one selection. I'm up next here in this category for my marquee event. I thought you were going to take this, JD, and I couldn't believe you didn't, because I do think one event that also has some drama in it, some tension, you're on the edge of your seat, oh my God, what's happening, is somebody going to crash, is the short track speed skating.
Yeah, it's great. Mm.
I love it. A lot of the time, I don't really know what's going on, which I think is part of its charm, especially when it gets to the relay portion of the speed skating there, the short track at least, where they're like suddenly like pushing your buddy in the butt and like give him a little go there, and they're always swapping in and out, but just it's quick. People go down, suddenly you can be in last place and you're winning gold medal because like they're duking it out. I love it. I think it's very entertaining, so I will gladly take short track speed skating at number two. Lee, I know you're a fan of the
event. Well, that's the first ever Australian gold medal came in the speed skating when the guy who was coming last, the others wiped out, and he just went skating across the line right at the end. He was like this. It was incredible because, well, you can't quite see me, but anyway, arms up like this. But the funny thing was, an Australian, the very next day, she was like favorite to win her event and become, you know, historical in Australia, like the first ever gold medal at the Winter Olympics. And this guy pipped her by a day when he just came through and cleaned
the
up.
The default winner, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so the trivia question that she was going to be, because she went on to win gold as well, but unfortunately, she just missed out there. So it is
first,
fun, though.
First That's female what... Winter Olympic gold, I guess. Is that right?
No, I think it was first ever.
Oh.
I think it was first ever Australian.
No, but
you're
saying the guy pipped her, you're saying.
Yeah, for an Australian gold medal at the Olympics.
Right.
And the funny thing was, I remember 2002, because I was living with my mate Benny from Canada, and Australia at one point had more gold medals than Canada. And it was great. There was a bit of rivalry in the house there because we weren't really expected to do all that well, and Canada got off to a bit of a slow start. They came home at the end, but... Australia was on top in the Winter Olympics there for a while.
I believe the South Koreans just dominate the short track speed skating too. I think China's pretty good as well. And then you get some Canadians in there and other countries, but I think that's like South Korea's wheelhouse. They're just good at going fast in
circles. Skatehouse, please. Blade house.
Okay, curling gone. Short track speed skating gone. Tass, you're up next.
A couple great ones off the board. Those were definitely on my list, curling included. Now, it gets tougher. The exciting ones are off the board. Let's be honest.
God, there's lots left.
No, there's maybe long track speed skating, which is also called speed skating. Yeah, short track off the board. But I'm not gonna take regular speed skating. I'm gonna go with the snowboarding half pipe.
Nice.
To end off. Yeah, I think the most visual.
Trey gave you a dirty look.
I told you not to look at my notes. I specifically said don't look at my notes for the marquee event.
Oh, in Denver, too?
That'd be perfect for everybody.
Man, we're going to invite Ross Regliotti back. He would love it there, man.
Thank you so much. That would be amazing. Okay, well, I'm willing to take figure skating if you offer me a future first-round pick.
Oh, wow.
Nah, forget it. Forget it. I'm taking snowboard half pipes.
Yeah, it's good.
For me, it's the most visually pleasing of all
the
sports.
I love that it's at night, too.
Oh, it's so cool.
Just pops.
Is it at night?
Well, like, usually the finals are.
Yeah. It's like dusk.
Under the lights. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
All right. Lee, we go to you next. That, right? Where are you going? A lot of great events left.
Yeah, there are, actually. And, you know, JD was talking about he likes drama and tension. Well, I'm surprised mine hasn't been brought up yet, because this one is one of the fastest events, maybe even the fastest. I'm not sure. But I love what ski jumping offers, because sometimes those guys wipe out. And when you see those dudes wiping out at that speed, coming off that, like, you know, the incline there, and they're leaning forward and they've got, you know, they're parallel with the skis, and then all of a sudden one comes out of alignment. You're like, oh my God, what is going to happen here? And he smashes into the ground and he rolls and rolls and rolls and rolls and rolls. And then he gets up and he's fine. But it's like, I just think it provides that sort of drama. You're looking for more than just how far they can go. You're like, is this guy just going to wipe out and lose a limb or something like that? I mean, what's going to happen here?
So you would prefer, like, straight up ski jumping to, you know, aerials or moguls, where they're also doing flips? Yeah,
I like the aerials, but I just like the high adrenaline and the high pace of the ski, especially when they have that side camera of them zipping down. They're going like 250 yeah. miles an hour going down there, and you're going off and you're like, that must be just incredible to be going at that speed. And then you've got to nail the landing as well. Like, and you know, you're really leaning out there. The wind is in your face and you're like, I mean, how can you tell how far you are either? You know, like, where am I going here? You know? And then it's great. So
it's like the human javelin. It is. Chuck me as far as you can.
And sometimes you see them, you know, just before they, I don't think it's dismount, but before they come off, and they just sort of come off, and you're like, uh-oh, it's one of those, like, slow-moving crashes that you're like, what's going to happen? So, yeah, give me the ski jump.
Wow. Do you have a favorite, medalist in the ski jump event? Are you a big Eddie the Eagle fan? It's the only one I know.
Yeah, me too. No, I don't. I don't. I'm not that deep into the ski jumping. I just like those close-up cameras that show you just how fast they're going.
Okay. Trey, you have the final pick. We know you're a little upset that Tasmy have scooped you on one of them, but do you have any backups?
Oh, many backups.
Okay.
Left a couple of good ones on the table. So I think I'm going to go with the highest left on my board, which is figure skating.
Hmm.
An iconic Winter Olympics event. Similar to curling, I feel like you really are only thinking about these during that time, which is why I'm going figure skating over hockey. We got the NHL. That's at least in your brain occasionally. I'm not thinking about figure skating all the time, but that's going to be my marquee event for sure.
Okay. Specifically just like solo artists, both men and women, or are we, you like an ice skating, a free, what are the other one? There's two.
Ice dance.
Ice dancing.
Pair
and then
skating.
I want jumps.
Okay.
I want jumps in mine, which means figure skating, right? I think ice dancing, you're not jumping.
That might be correct.
I think
correct.
So.
Yeah.
Gossie, those jumps.
Okay. And you're not worried about some controversy, clouding your games because the Russians, took a point off.
I invite the controversy.
Yeah.
I want it to be a memorable Olympics. So we're going to hire the crookedest judges you can find.
No, that's pretty easy in the you won't be looking too far.
Yeah, it's just the same judges as usual, but we're making sure to bring them back. Yeah.
I mean, that's a great pick, because if you are looking for headlines and eyeballs, it's like two of the biggest stories in Winter Olympics history involve figure skating, right?
Mm.
Tanya Harding and Nancy
Kerrigan. Jamie Soleil
and then that one. Yeah, go ahead, Lee. What was that one?
Oh, Jamie Soleil and David Pelletier.
Right. Corruption there.
2006. They even got their gold medal. They got so upset and made such a song and dance about it. They actually got rewarded with a gold medal, which was just ridiculous. They should have won it anyway. But the IOC were just like, all right, let's just give everyone a gold medal and that'll make everyone happy.
Right. Is that what gave us the legendary Sid Sixero rant?
No, I think so.
No, what was that one? 2000, that was 2010, I think it was. That okay. was in Vancouver. Yeah. Yeah.
And he was upset with the how they were judging it.
The guy who created the event or whatever said, like, it wasn't even a 10.
You gotta go find that clip of Sid Sixero getting upset about, yeah. funny. About ice dancing or at least Paris yeah. figure skating. Okay, let's move on to our fourth category. It's a new Olympic event. I did have the number one pick, but JD is cashing it in, so I will be picking last. JD, so have at it here.
So the. Thank you for the pick, by the way. I appreciate that. Now, listen, I think this used to be an Olympic event.
Okay.
I'm going dog sled racing.
Ooh.
Yeah. A 1,500-kilometer race in the style of the Iditarod, which they're still doing, apparently.
Yep.
And it just takes place. It takes place like between 8 and 15 days, so it's perfect.
Okay.
And and then you get like Mark Burnett to send a team in there and just follow them doing the race. You know, like just actually camp with them and just follow them doing the race, like Eco Challenge style. I think that would be incredible to watch. So
I like the idea of like at your opening ceremonies, you send the dogs out, you send the sleds out. We'll see you in 8 to 15 days.
Oh, they leave from the arena.
Yeah.
Now that's
and
cool.
Then, yeah, and then they come back at the closing ceremony.
The finish line is the closing ceremony. That's great. And you might have to make it 2,000 kilometers.
Yeah,
you have to
extend it. Yeah, yeah.
The marathon.
I do think you're right, though, JD. I think it used to be an event. I seem to recall it in Calgary, but I think they did stop it because it was... I believe deemed a little bit rough on the animals, I think, but I may be wrong about that, but I seem to connect it to Calgary for some reason.
And yet equestrian is still an Olympic event, so I don't know. I've also read that the dogs like it. So
they do. I mean, those dogs are trained for that.
Exactly. They're bred for it.
There's
They're
no way it was in what did you say? Yeah. We in Calgary?
Yeah, I don't
no
think way. So.
1988. 1988 were the first like real big Winter Olympics, I think. And and I just seem to recall it. But
see a dog? There's no way that the dogs.
Oh, you sound like
racing.
Joel Myers right now. Every Olympics needs a dog.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm thinking of, but anyway, it's something like that.
Okay, I like it, JD.
Yeah,
dog sledding. You are
it's old school, but
very
you know,
old school.
It's fascinating to me.
I think I like your like twist to having like cameras out there with them for this incredible journey. Because when you first said, I was like, that is going to be a horrible televised event. Like I'm like, that's not going to be all that interesting. But you know, you can hook me.
Exactly. Well, you watch like 13 episodes of Alone, right?
Right, yeah.
I mean, and you're just with each team and just the drama of it and the dogs. How are the dogs holding up? And the camping and let's go at night, guys, because that's what they do, right? They have checkpoints in the Iditarod, but a lot of them don't even bother. They just camp and then go. Like they're constantly on the move. So
okay,
cool.
It's basically an ultra marathon for dogs, really.
Exactly.
Quick little research here. A sled dog race was a demonstration sport at the 1932 Winter Olympics.
But?
And again at the Olympics in Oslo and once more in the 1994 Winter Olympics in Lillehammer.
There you go, Lee.
But did not gain official event status.
Okay. Yeah. Demonstration
sport. Literally just a dog show. A Winter Olympic dog show.
Good, I like that. All right, Tass, you're up next here in a new Olympic event.
Wow.
Yeah, where are you
going? Yeah, this is tough. I have watched We Are the Champions on Netflix, if you guys have watched that.
Oh,
they
yes.
have different competitions, sort of under the radar type of competitions, like frog jumping.
Yep.
And
there's one dancing with dogs.
There's one dancing
That's
with
wild.
Dogs. There's I didn't watch that one.
You
didn't
see that one?
No.
Oh, it's so strange.
Mm-hmm. I didn't get that far. But I'm taking one from that show that's been going on for years, the Cooper's Hill Cheese Rolling Contest in England.
Wow.
It's amazing. and it's coming to Greece. If you want, if you want personalities, you want drama, you want amazing camera shots of this extremely steep hill that's been going on in England for whatever 100 plus years, where they roll down a wheel of cheese and then humans have to roll down this hill because it's so steep you can't run down this hill, and
they try
and they get injured, a lot of broken limbs. But I will have incredible shots. I'm doing this one on the first day of my Olympics because I'm going to have incredible slow-mos like they did in We Are the Champions for the next 2 weeks as we go into commercials of people rolling down, the facial reactions of people screaming, what am I doing? I'm chasing a wheel of feta cheese down this hill.
Yeah, but won't it crumble? Won't the feta cheese crumble?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be triple wrapped. I think it'll be all right. It's an incredible event with incredible history, and we're stealing it in Athens, Greece, the hill cheese rolling competition, which is so good.
I like the idea, like the visual of like every country could be in this, and like you got to be like wearing obviously like your country's colors or your flag or stuff like that. Maybe you even have to have your flag on like a little cape or something like that. I just think it would look cool.
Yeah.
Then let the cheese go and away we go.
Yes.
But on a winter hill, are we gonna be on a winter like a snow?
It's
hill?
A winter. Yeah, it'll be snowy. We'll pick a warm day because it's in Greece, so we're fine.
You know, a winter hill.
Yeah, winter's hill. Yeah.
This is the winter Olympics.
Yeah. Well, people love rolling in snow if it's snowy, and
Is it everybody uses the same feta cheese, or you bring your country's cheese?
Cool.
Well, the competition is for the cheese.
It's for one.
It's one. You'd actually, yes.
Right, but I'm saying, would the American team bring a cheddar cheese? You know what I'm saying?
There's a nice charcuterie at the end. Yes. If that's what you're asking.
Yeah, slice it up. Hey, have some of our country's cheese.
All right.
Yeah, I think we're going to be cultural, and you get a Greek feta at the end of it. But feel free to bring your country's cheese.
Okay.
It might not get eaten. But yes.
Can you internationally travel with cheese? Lee, you travel a lot.
Good question. I mean, it's sort of perishable, isn't it? So it needs to be chilled. I mean, I guess you can, but it's a bit inconvenient. I would say don't bring your own cheese away, because you're not bringing cheese to France, are you? I mean, you're same with Greece. Don't bring cheese. They've got great cheese. You want to stick with the local cheese.
I think he's asking, can you, not should you? I mean, should you? Yeah. Definitely not. But can you bring it over a border, I think, is what he's saying.
I guess so. Yeah, but
I think there was just an advisory that went out that said, don't bring it across.
There you go.
No cheese, please.
Okay. I'm fascinated to see where Lee goes with this. What is your new Olympic event, Lee, at your Olympics?
Yeah, so it's a two-piece event. This one came to me because I just got back from Canada, from Calgary and Toronto. Calgary was full of snow, which was great. Mm-hmm. And this is where the idea came from, because my boys wanted snow. They loved snow. They got out there. First thing kids do in the snow is try to build a snowman, and with varying degrees of success. So I think it's a two-part sport here. You have to go out and build the best snowman you can. It's timed. And then there's another part of it where you have ice and you've got to sculpt something. So, you know, like you see these things sometimes on Instagram. People are really amazing sculptors and stuff. So you have to build your snowman. It's a bit like a Survivor challenge, really. You know, you've got to build one in like 10 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever. And then you've got to go and sculpt something out of the ice, and your two scores total up to give you for the event. So, you know, there's something there creative and artistic. And I think because kids get pretty competitive when it comes to building a snowman, you know. So
these are going
to
be kids. These are going to be children.
Sure, why not? Why not? Let's open it up and have kids do it, you know, make it a bit more fun. But or you can maybe have a tandem. So the kid does the snowman and then like the adult does the sculpting, something like that. And then you combine your two, you know, designs, and you get that's how you figure out who gets the most.
This is going to be more corrupt than figure skating, man. Like, this is all
it doesn't matter at the Olympics anymore. I mean, everything's up for sale. Just go out there and you know, buy whatever event is most important to you. But I just think it's fun. I think, you know, when you see some good snowmen, you go, okay, that's not bad. You know, the carrot in the nose and all that, you know.
Are the countries bringing their own carrots?
Oh, yeah.
Can you travel with a carrot?
Well, I guess it depends on what color.
Should you travel? Okay, like, the kid part adds an interesting twist to it. People love children. Maybe there's some meltdowns, some tantrums. That's good TV.
Oh, yeah.
But, like,
there's
going to
be a lot of meltdowns at TASS's Olympics.
Oh, yeah. Nice. But building a snowman, like, are people going to, like, is that exciting to watch?
Of course it is, because you've got to, like, it's not just, like, you're just piling snow on. You've got to, like...
That's exactly what it is. It's exactly what building a snowman is. It's rolling small snow into bigger snow.
But it's not. They don't all look the same. Some look really good and some don't.
Most snowmen look basically identical.
No, man. Some people are... Picasso's.
Okay, hold on. When I ask you, what do you think of when I say snowman? What do you think of?
I think of a zucchini nose.
See, there you go, Tass. That's great, all right? Okay.
It's great. The judges
who are all being bribed are like, I like zucchini nose because he's thought outside the character. Okay?
That's the only creative part is the nose.
Oh, my God. All right. It's your games.
Yeah, it's something new. We haven't seen it before.
I did have a question, though. You said the second part was more of the ice sculpting, which, that's some art. You know, I think you can really inject some, like, artistic abilities and creativity into that. What would you carve out of ice, Lee, with like a chainsaw or a pick or something like that? As an Australian too, because maybe that's what the countries would do, like something that represents them and their nation. Maybe a snowman. I've carved a snowman, but he's got a zucchini nose.
That's out of exactly ice. What it is, right?
Like, blow the judges' minds. Whoa, is that an iceberg?
I would carve the snowman and then carve out like something so you could slide the snowman into the ice structure. Sculpture. I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking this was like a great, like, you know, 1-2 feature there.
Okay. All right. So ice sculpting / snowman building is your new one.
Yes. Yes, that's the challenge. And it's timed, so you can't sit there all day. It's like in Survivor where you got to start your own fire, you know, like you got to do it as quick as
it
you
is,
can.
It is like it's a Survivor like challenge.
I had snowman contest on my list.
All right.
Mine was going to be though a little bit even more Survivor like, where you have a time and you have to build, like, whoever builds it the tallest.
Yeah. Okay.
Because then you see like the people like pushing their big balls.
Oh, and then to get that second boulder up on top of the...
It's a big lift.
The base boulder. Okay, yeah.
Snowman contest. Yeah. Not bad.
All right. Where are you going, though? It's your pick here.
Well, I don't know if I want to give this one away, but Skeets, you might want to use it. So this will be my second place finisher.
Okay.
Biggest bundler. Who can put on the most winter gear to go outside? you've got a minute and like a closet full of big coats and hats and stuff. Who can put on the most and get bundled up for the outdoors? Mm. That's a good one. But I'm officially going with my pick, a snowball fight.
Yeah, nice.
Good one.
Nice.
It's dodgeball.
Yeah.
But it's snowballs.
Yeah.
Regulation snowballs, I assume. They start you with a pile of regulation snowballs. You can go through those.
So they're pre-made.
Pre-made snowballs.
Okay.
I guess. And then you can scavenger snowballs from, you know, rolling balls, or I don't know, maybe you set up a barricade, build up your own.
Are there
stockpile.
Any rules? Can't throw one in the face? Is that a rule?
No, faces is encouraged. Remember, I'm going for a very controversial Olympics.
Yep.
I would like to see bloody noses at the end of every single round. So yeah, snowball fight.
I like it.
Classic. Absolute classic.
That's great. I guess mine... No, it's got an element maybe of that, but my new Winter Olympic event is a real thing, but we're adding it, of course, to the games. American Gladiators, the Eliminator, with a winter twist to it, right? So, you know, instead of the Gladiators, which I like about this too, the Gladiators would be other countries. Like they're other representatives, right? Like they're athletes, they're super athletes, and instead of like the giant boulders, remember, you got to go through like the gauntlet part at the end. Yeah, they would have actually just giant, basically snowmen. Lee, you'll like this part, the base of a snowman that they're trying to throw at them. They're trying to whip snowballs at them. That's incorporated. Yeah, we'll still have the ramp, like the reverse treadmill, maybe the little thing you got to cross that pit on the little cycle thing. It's going to have like the eliminator like elements, but again, like that winter vibe to it. Zip line, cargo net, all that fun. What do you think?
Sounds like a blast.
Yeah. I think you could actually take a lot of American Gladiator events and like just throw them in the Olympics.
Totally.
Like the pyramid and...
there's that
Powerball and all this.
Yeah, what's the one where they're Atlas? What's the one where they're like inside the thing?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Put yourself inside a giant snowball and run around.
Like giant ice ball, yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to be able to see. That's a good point.
And people are doing that as well. Like people are doing that game sport at parks, right? Where they're, you know, in the sphere.
Yeah, yeah, you're right, you're right.
Yeah. What about the shooting tennis balls at people?
Assault. Well, snowballs.
Snowballs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe you could add that to your snowball fight. There's the assault gun.
Yeah, somebody from on high. Nice. I like that.
Write this down. That's a good idea. So yeah, I'm going with specifically the Eliminator from American Gladiators. Were you a fan of American Gladiators, Lee? Did you have Australian Gladiators?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah, I think it was just Gladiators. We didn't call it American Gladiators, but it was there for a while. Yeah, I've watched a bit of it, but
I'd rather watch somebody make a snowman.
Yeah.
Okay, our final category, NBA mascots. Yes, it's a mascot for your Olympic Games, but it has to be an NBA mascot. Tass, you have the number one pick.
I'm going with the Sacramento Kings, Slamson the Lion. I think Slamson... deep down inside, he's a mountain lion, and I think he will climb to the top of my mountains, Mount Olympus in Greece, and I think he'll photograph really well with his little white goatee that he's got going on. He'll blend in with the snow very well, with his little white chinny chin chin, and
you'll sell some merch for sure. Yeah,
kids like lions. Yeah. Yes. I mean, this is what my criteria were. You look weird because all Olympic mascots. Super weird. He's got some weird eyes, Slamson the Lion. Strange. Yeah.
Very weird eyes.
Yeah. Like, he sort of creeps me out a little bit.
Yeah. His eyes are kind of sunken. They're you gotta search for them. When you look for them, like, where are those things? So I can understand why you're weirded out by them. And also, kids. It's all about the kids.
Yeah.
So I think the lion fits my criteria. I think it just screams winter to me. He screams winter. He screams that he's... And I think it's a he, by the way. I think he'll fit in. He fits in with winter. The Winter Olympics.
Okay. Like an underbite, I feel like. Slamson.
All right, Lee, where are you going with your NBA mascot for your Winter Olympic Games?
Yeah, I found this category the toughest to find sort of a link. You know, you could get like a mascot to Scotland.
No, the Lynx, that's a WNBA team.
So I'm going with one that I just think has been fantastic entertainment for over 25 years. I really don't have anything other than I just want to see the raptor there in Edinburgh, at Edinburgh Castle, going crazy, running around, you know, poking his head out at the side of, like, you know, the castle that's like 8,000 years old and stuff like that. So,
I think
dinosaurs.
Castle. It's beautiful. I haven't got a strong reason why other than I just think the raptor would be fun to have around for a couple of weeks there for the Olympics.
Perfect.
Okay, that works. Trey, what about you, NBA mascot?
I'm up already.
Yeah, I believe so.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm going with Bernie.
Oh, what? For the Winter Olympics?
Exactly.
Hilarious.
What is he? A fire? He's the Olympic flame?
Ooh.
Have him standing in the cauldron dancing the whole time? Nose in and out, all kind of crazy and stuff? So yeah, I thought between the fact that he's a fire at the Winter Olympics and he's the Olympic flame, the perfect guy. And it would just be fun to have him around there.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, and he actually, more than maybe some of these other ones even the guys have picked, like, is a really what the hell are you type of thing.
What are
and a
you?
Lot of these, I guess sometimes they are animals that they have for the actual events, but or for the Olympics, but sometimes they're weird, and that one fits the bill. Okay. Mm-hmm. Bernie, off the board. JD, you have the fourth pick.
Yeah, so I actually had a question here because we didn't really discuss this. Can it be is it any mascot, living or dead, NBA mascot? Because I want to pick Squatch, the Seattle Supersonics. Squatch.
I'm totally okay with it.
Okay.
As long as the other guys are.
Guys all right with it?
I did not say current NBA mascot. You're right. I said NBA mascot.
I think we're going to have to huddle up on this one.
All right.
Yeah, let's...
I'll wait.
Squatch it up. No, just Squatch. Why is this Squatch?
Why Squatch? Because, you know, it's in Canada. And it's sort of a Canadian thing. It's, I think, winter, Sasquatch, Squatch, you know.
See, did the Vancouver Olympic Games not basically have a Squatch? A Sasquatch for one of their
I honestly don't know. Mascots. Probably, actually.
I think so. I think there was, you know, they like to have like 2, 3, or 4 of these now.
That's true.
And I think there was a Sasquatch, JD.
Okay. Then it's a great idea then.
Yeah, but you know, Vancouver, I don't know.
Hold on. The category is NBA mascot.
Yeah, you're right.
Squatch is an NBA mascot, so I'm picking Squatch.
Okay.
That's it.
You were doing some research there, Trey. Am I right? Is it something like a Sasquatch in 2010?
Oh, it's a Sasquatch.
Yeah.
Full-blooded Sasquatch by the name of Quatchy.
Oh, yeah. Cute little name.
Yeah, do you remember the other three?
Well, there was a tiny little, like, almost penguin-looking little cute bugger.
A marmot? What's a marmot look like?
A marmot. I just know the clothing for a marmot.
Okay, I think you're speaking of Miga.
Yeah,
is what I think.
There's a tiny little one.
Yeah, a combination of a killer whale, a Kermode bear, and a sea bear.
Oh, okay. Penguin, not really. Yep. Okay.
So we got Miga, Quatchy, Sumi, and Muckmuck.
There's four.
Yeah, they had four. Yeah,
holy, pick
sell
a mascot.
Those plush toys. Yeah.
All those plush toys.
All right, well, maybe I shouldn't pick Squatch.
No, you're fine. It's an NBA mascot. Should. Totally. And your NBA version, much hairier, like stranglier looking than the Vancouver one.
Right.
You're fine.
Okay. I'm sticking with it.
Okay, I have the final pick here. The final overall pick of Squad in the NBA mascot category. I'm in Switzerland, I wanted to remind you. So I had two ways to go about this. One, the color red could come into play because of, you know, Switzerland's colors, red with the cross and then on the white background there. So I was going to go the Raptor. I thought maybe Benny the Bull being red. I thought maybe Harry the Hawk. But instead, I'm going to go the animal route. And I'm going with the 76ers mascot, Franklin, the dog. And here's why. When I think of Switzerland, I immediately think of a Saint Bernard, you know, an alpine legend, the Saint Bernard.
Legend.
And this, unless I'm forgetting one, you guys tell me, Franklin's the only dog mascot in the NBA.
Cavs still have Moondog?
Well, yeah, but then they have that other guy, Sir Lancelot or Sir Seasty. Yeah, so I can never tell which one's their actual mascot. So I went with Franklin, because I think if you put like a little cask under his giant head there, you know, put some booze in it, he could, you know, you squint just enough, he looks like a Saint Bernard.
Yeah,
so that's, I'm going with a theme here because I'm in Saint Moritz in Switzerland. So Franklin.
Franklin, he's been living in Switzerland for the last 10 to 12
years. You don't see him a lot, do you?
No. Thanks for informing me. I didn't know the Saint Bernard is from that region.
Well, it's definitely, it is. Right?
It is. It absolutely is. I didn't know that.
Well, I mean, you got it in front of you. What? It would help find people, I assume, right?
Yeah, rescue
dog.
Up
in the mountains, yeah.
Yes.
And that was the whole thing. Like, what's in the cask? Was it, what type of medicine was it?
I think it's brandy, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I think there's conflicting reports.
Okay. What else is there if it's not brandy?
Well,
root beer.
More like, I don't know, medicine.
Gauze.
Who knows? I got Franklin. It's a horrible pick. People hate Franklin, but I think it goes well with my theme. Is what I. But maybe
it does.
Maybe I overthought it. Should have just went Benny. People.
Benny's still on the board. I can't believe it.
Yeah,
that's crazy. That's crazy. Okay, so those are the five categories. Let's recap our Winter Olympic of events. Really, I guess. What's another word for it? I guess it's a Winter Olympics.
Selections?
Yeah, selections, sure. I was trying to think of an all-encompassing, what is it? It's an event.
Your Olympics.
Program?
Yes, that works.
Program.
Okay, Lee, because you had the first pick overall, take us through your perfect Winter Olympics.
So it's 2026. We're going to the capital of Scotland, Edinburgh. Beautiful, beautiful city there. We're going to open the ceremony with some bagpipes, Lita Ford, Dua Lipa, and Elton. They're going to put on a great show for us.
Yep.
directed by Jonas Ankelin. Ski jumping is my marquee event. I love it. I love the speed. I love the danger. I love the distance they can go. I love all that sort of stuff.
I love the jumping. I love the skiing part. Yeah. I love how long it is.
And then my event is a two-part event. It's snowman building and ice sculpting as well. So you work with a kid and you work together there and you see how many points you can score. And my mascot, the raptor, dinosaur, cold, I don't know, whatever with mascot there. You get that's not where the Olympics are being sold right now. Mine are going all on the city and the events and the entertainment.
Okay. So, I just realized how stupid this squad was after you really summed up your team. I'm like, yeah, that's ridiculous. We nailed it. Okay, Trey, take us through your Winter Olympics.
We're going to Denver, Colorado, the Rocky Mountains. Snow.
Sold.
I love it. I think that's a great pick.
I know. The opening ceremony, our performer, will he perform? Yeah, he's putting himself in the show alongside Pitbull and Flo Rida. It's Lin-Manuel Miranda. Our marquee event is figure skating. You know what I love about it? How they skate. The figures they make while skating, I think, is very interesting. My new Olympic event is a snowball fight, which is dodgeball with snowballs.
Yep.
And our mascot is Bernie, the fireball.
Oh, yeah. That's nice. You've done well here.
Thank you.
If I can't vote for my own team, I think you might have my vote. But JD, take us through your team.
Okay, well, we are going to Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. The opening performer, what year are we talking? We're talking the 2032-ish, 2034?
Yeah, I guess if Lee gets 26, even though I think Italy actually right. has it, but if Lee steals it, that means Trey's getting Denver in 2030. Yeah, you're getting 2034.
Okay, so I got a hologram of all the Rolling Stones except for Keith Richards. Yeah. The marquee event will be...
performing live with holograms.
The marquee event will be curling, the intrigue, the suspense, the beer bellies. new Olympic event will be the dog sled, a 2,000-kilometer race that the starting line will be at the opening ceremony, finish line at the closing ceremony. Mark Burnett will be producing that portion. Mm-hmm. And my NBA mascot is the Seattle Supersonics Squatch.
Ooh, really, really Squatch. Nice. Okay. I guess I am up next. I'm in St. Moritz, Switzerland, in the luxury Alpine resort town.
Where it sounds lovely.
It's beautiful. It does. You gotta look at the photos. My performer, who I guess I'm 2038. Tina Turner. I'd be very old by then, but I you know, she takes care of herself.
What's time gotta do with it?
Tina Turner is my performer because if you didn't know, she loves Switzerland.
She's Swiss.
Yeah. She loves Swiss.
The Swiss.
Roger Federer. Also involved in the lighting of the cauldron. He's going to be hitting a snowball that is flaming.
Oh, they'll have the technology by then.
Right. My marquee event, my actual event, is the short track speed skating. I love how short it is. I love the track part of it. I love the speed part of it all. And the skating probably the most that really draws me in.
The speed at which they are skating on that track, it's not that long. It is a shorter track. It's amazing.
It's incredible. My new Olympic event is the Eliminator from American Gladiators with a winter twist. And yes, the gladiators in my Eliminator are other athletes from the other country. Like, that's the best part. They're trying to, like, slow, you know, Team Canada is trying to slow down the American. Oh, the controversy that would come out of that.
Drop some chocolate on the ice. That'll slow them down. What was your event?
The Eliminator.
Oh, the Eliminator. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, Swiss chocolate's got to be involved.
Yeah.
Melt some chocolate.
I was racking my brain of why'd you said that, but now I get
chocolate
it.
Traps.
Oh, on
of
the. Put chocolate on the reverse treadmill at the start.
Yes.
Slipping exactly. and sliding, trying to get up there. And then my NBA mascot, because I want like something that looks like a St. Bernard, I went with Franklin the dog, the Sixers mascot.
Hopefully Joel Myers can commentate.
He's pointing right at you, saying thanks.
He's like, thanks. The 76ers never use me for anything, so appreciate you putting me in the Winter Olympics. Okay, I guess that
sorry,
leaves.
Man. Chocolate traps is funny.
It's good. It's good,
right? Somebody bending down to get a. They're like, oh, chocolate?
He just now? he just said, put some chocolate on it. And I was like, just trying to rack my brain why you were saying it.
I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
Just slow him down.
But I was in Switzerland, yeah.
Yeah, it's a real jackass. There's a new jackass coming out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And a new Olympics. We'll draft our own jackass.
Okay.
Tips on Steve-O.
Tass, take us through your Winter Olympics.
Sure. What year are we in?
Well, you at this point are 2042, I guess.
Oh, okay. So there'll probably be a new Culkin I can have as well by that time. We're going to Athens, Greece. Welcome to Athena 2042, where Meatloaf will be performing Bat Out of Hell via Matt Austin. And again, everybody's going to be in the arena within 10 minutes to light that cauldron.
Quick opening
ceremony. Yeah, the torches will be aflame. My marquee event is the snowboard halfpipe. Can't wait. Watching that at dusk. My new event is the Hill Cheese Rolling Race, which is a blast if you've ever seen it.
It's good.
Just a real great time. My mascot, Slamson the Lion. Wow, these are like five things that don't tie in, but that's okay. That's all right. You know, I'm going after different audiences here.
All right. There it is, a recap of all of our Winter Olympics. Who did the best when it came to drafting? Who built the perfect Winter Olympics in your mind? Let us know in the comments below the video. You can tweet at us at No Dunks Inc. And better yet, let's hear your selections for all five of these categories. The host city, the performer, the actual Winter Olympic event, the new Winter Olympic event, and then the NBA mascot of your choosing to be your actual Olympics mascot. Lee, are you excited for the Winter Olympics? Can I ask you that? Like, are you pumped? Are you going to be watching it with the kids?
I'm not sure how I feel about these Olympics. They certainly haven't had the hype, you know.
No, well,
so,
no.
But, you know, I'll definitely tune in for some highlights, but can't say I'm, you know, super pumped, to be honest.
I agree. Which is why we did this. I'm much more excited to watch Lee's Winter Olympics than Beijing 2022. All right, guys, so let us know who you're picking and who wins this draft. Until next time. Embrace the day, people.